want to say thank you to Edgard Portella, as well as Paul Dykowitz for coming on today. We really appreciated their time. And one last quick thought on Trump. I do believe what he is leading will eventually lead to a sort of emergence, a sort of new movement within the Republican Party. Again, it is a return, I think, to putting America first, economically, as well as in terms of foreign policy. It is, I think, as well, a sort of giving up on, to an extent, social conservatism. I think with Trump's ascendancy, that is kind of being put on the back burner. And, of course, what we're seeing is, again, in many parts of Europe as well, this sort of resistance to multiculturalism, open borders, open society, global free trade. And I think with Trump, we see that happening in the States as well. I wanted to make sure I got that in today. But again, thanks, Edgard, for coming on again. It's been a really great time with you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And before we go, I wanted to, again, introduce a new segment. I promised this last week. We just didn't get to it. I wanted to invite on Tyler Nethercott, who's been on the show before, blogger at vigilateetorate.blogspot.com, to give us his final thoughts for the week. And we're going to call this The Last Word with Tyler Nethercott. So Tyler, take it away.
Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Do you find it difficult to get along with others at work? Do you find yourself frequently frustrated, losing your temper, and saying things that you later regret? Is there a colleague who seems to just have it out for you? Are you incited to anger and revenge, to detraction and calumniation, to use profane language, or even to fall into depression? Please be assured, dear brethren, that you are not alone. Do not despair. Take courage and have hope. Remember who the real enemy is. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of this world and the darkness, and against the spirits of wickedness in high places. While we may see a fellow man persecuting us as our enemy, let us remember that the real enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. If one strike thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other. Remember what Christ said, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted him, they will also persecute you. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why do the assaults of others hurt us so much? Why do they seem to strike at our very core? We know the answer, and it is due to pride. St. John Chrysostom writes that meekness of all the virtues is that which renders us most like unto God, for it belongs only to God to render good for evil. And so blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Let us pray then, O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thy heart. This prayer, this simple ejaculation made many times daily, is a supreme remedy against the love of ourselves and against the pride of life. It is an infallible truth that God is faithful and will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to endure. And yet it is also true that he will permit us to be tempted in order to strengthen us, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Let us then glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell within us. Let us acknowledge that we are called to suffer. Our Lord proclaimed, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." What does this mean, to take up our crosses? According to Sister Lucia, the message of Our Lady of Fatima does not imply great austerities. Instead, the sacrifice required of every person is the fulfillment of his duties in life and the observance of God's law. Saint Therese referred to this as the little way. Think of the supreme humility of the Holy Family. Saint Joseph remained a simple carpenter all of his days, hidden and anonymous. Still, to this day, little is definitively known of his life, and yet to him it was entrusted to teach, to protect, and to care for the Son of God. And what of Our Lady? Is not her fiat the holiest inspiration to humbly submit ourselves to God's will in every moment of our lives? Is not her response to St. Elizabeth that her soul glorifies the Lord and her spirit rejoiced in God her Savior the most perfect of responses when one should happen to praise us? Dear friends, the scriptures and the lives of the saints are truly filled with infinite examples of inspiration to help edify and strengthen us in this daily battle. We have the promise of eternal life if we truly love our Lord and our neighbor. What joy this ought to give us! What a sense of overwhelming peace that the Holy Ghost offers us! Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Do not worry what others think of you. When can a worry add an hour to a man's life? Instead, only concern yourself with what God would think, or of what the heavenly court would say should you give in to the temptation to behave contentiously with others. Remember that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Let us remember that God only shows mercy to those who are merciful, and we often pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Too many times we only see good in ourselves and only the faults in others. This is the reverse of the way it ought to be. We ought to find fault in ourselves and seek good in others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God. Is this so hard? No, dear faithful Catholics, not with the help of God. All things are possible with Him. We must ask for this grace to be meek and humble of heart. And what else is required of us beyond this asking? We must also fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. His mercy is from generation unto generation to them that fear Him. We ought not to fear Him that can kill the body and is not able to kill the soul, but rather to fear Him that can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. As we approach Pentecost, pray for holy fear and for a perfect reverence of God's sovereign omnipotence. This is the first of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Remember what St. Paul wrote, "I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come." I heard a saying recently, "Do not wrestle with pigs, because you get dirty and the pigs like it." Let us learn from this quote, "Do not let the assaults of others rob your peace of soul, and do not despise them. Love them and love the cross, for without it there is no salvation." Pray for me, dear friends, and I will pray for you. Vigilate et orate. Let us watch and pray.
All right, again, thanks, Tyler, for that. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to hearing from all of you, your thoughts, comments, concerns on Facebook, Twitter, or email skokx1@gmail.com. Get in touch with me. We will see you shortly. Have a blessed rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. Take care.